What up, cryptids and milfs? I'm your host, Amanda.
And I'm Ella, and you are entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is an X-Files rewatch podcast. We rewatch the X-Files, and then we talk about it. And this is my first time watching this show.
And this is my fourth time watching this show. And tonight is a smoky kind of night.
But not who you would think.
That's true. It's a buggy kind of night. Mm-hmm.
It's bugging me.
It's a murky kind of night. With the murk of, you corporate. Know, corporate politics,
yeah.
And
crime
and all that jazz. Mm-hmm.
I love jazz.
Do you?
It's great.
Okay. All right. Because tonight, of course, we were talking about season 7, episode 18, Brand X.
It is pretty widely known that tobacco companies have been pouring money into that kind of research, changing the tobacco plant itself in order to make it hardier, give it less nicotine, more nicotine, make it naturally menthol flavored, you name it.
A form of what? Super tobacco?
Which possibly could have created super bugs. I guess the real question is, could they have become dangerous to humans?
This episode aired on April 16th, 2000. It was written by Stephen Maida and Greg Walker and directed by Kim Manners. Now, Amanda, you may be wondering, who are Stephen Maida and Greg Walker?
I was actually thinking about how Kim Manners is a real bug guy.
Oh, well.
Which we'll get to, but...
I was gonna, yeah.
That's, I actually don't care. I'm never curious about who the writers are.
Okay.
Just kidding, I'm curious. Sorry, okay. who's Stephen Maida and Greg Walker?
Well, Stephen Maida, this is his first episode of the show. He writes 6 episodes of the show. It sounds like, so he came over to the show because he was a writer on the wonderful series, Harsh Realm. Of course.
We all watched Harsh Realm in that one episode of the X-Files where it was forced on us.
Yes.
Okay.
But he was the showrunner of Pan Am. Remember that?
Oh,
it was like on for like a season.
I watched some of those episodes. It was like if Mad Men wasn't as good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he was the showrunner, and he is the current showrunner of One Piece, which I haven't watched, but I hear everyone's into that one.
The anime.
Yeah.
The pirates. Tell me.
I don't know what I haven't seen it.
Okay.
But I know it's popular.
Okay.
And so he's the showrunner of that. So that's why he's relevant today.
Okay.
Greg Walker, not Paul Walker. It would be interesting if Paul Walker wrote an episode of the show.
It would be, yeah.
But it's not him. This is also his first episode of the show. He writes 3 episodes. He also came from Harsh Realm.
Okay.
And he barely had an IMDb page, so I know nothing about him.
That happens.
Yeah. This episode takes place in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and a short plot synopsis. While protecting a man due to testify against the Morley Cigarette Company, Skinner is horrified when the witness dies mysteriously. What the agents soon discover is that a new brand of cigarette has a dangerous secret.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Well, shall we hop on into this smoky... eggy
ooh.
Smoke night.
Oh, yuck!
Okay, let's hop on in.
This meat that's ready to hatch.
Just breathe it in to your lung tissue.
Tasty,
nice. We open, and I thought this was pretty clever on the rewatch. We open on a shot of a smoky chimney.
When you were watching it, you tapped your nose and you nodded approvingly.
Yeah, said, oh, interesting. The smoky chimney is a visual motif related to the rest of the plot of this episode.
This was a very smoky, not just the literal smoke, but atmospherically.
It was.
Yeah.
House in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There are FBI agents who are clearly doing protective custody on the inhabitants. That's not the right verb.
They're inflicting protective custody.
Well, it kind of feels like that, honestly.
Yeah.
For the woman.
Yeah.
The people who live in this house are in the protective custody of the FBI, including Skinner, who is talking to the couple.
He's out from behind his desk. Mm-hmm. This is exciting.
He's no desk jockey when it comes to a high-profile case like this.
That's right.
He's going to fuck it up on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we learn that the man, Scobie, is going to turn state's evidence against, like, his old company that he worked for. And he is very...
That's rude.
I know. Come on. Where's the loyalty? Where's the respect?
Come on.
We kill a couple people. If my company killed people, I wouldn't talk about it.
That's right.
That's none of my business.
They probably gave him a wonderful Christmas bonus, mm-hmm. and this is what he does in return.
It's a little messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to think it's the moral thing to do, whereas his wife is pretty annoyed at the rigmarole of everything because she is feeling like a prisoner in her own home under this protective custody. But these people that he's witnessing against are very powerful, and
he's inflicting his testimony against them.
He's doing testimony on them.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, he wants to testify. It's dangerous to testify. The FBI is protecting him before he testifies, etc. So he then also starts coughing, which is never a good sign on TV or in movies. Mm-hmm. And after everyone leaves, we see that he has been coughing up blood and also a live bug into a glass of water. Ew. And he seems calm about that.
Yeah. I don't think he noticed the bug.
He didn't notice the bug?
Yeah.
I think I would notice a bug.
I mean, I would too, but yeah. He didn't freak out about it, so.
He didn't.
He also coughed in, like, a really gross way, with his, like, mouth wide open. Cover your mouth.
It's just, like,
PSA.
Spewing blood everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Disgusting. Well, later that night, the wife gets up and looks for Jim. It's, like, 4 a.m., but he is not in bed. The bathroom door is, like, jammed, and she knocks, but he doesn't answer, so that's scary. So she calls for Skinner and an agent. They shove open the door to the bathroom, and they do find Jim Scobie on the floor. He is very dead.
Mm-hmm.
His, like, mouth, all the skin around his mouth has been eaten away, and there's, like, blood everywhere, and so it's just, like, his, like, creepy skull teeth. So that's what you get when you get Skinner on the case.
Yeah.
You get dead witnesses.
Yeah. Nice try.
Mm-hmm.
He's not helping the case, though.
Womp womp.
Oh, well. Credits. Credits over. We get an investigation station where the Boo crew has arrived to this big old suburban house and scene of crime. Skinner is on the phone inside with his boss, who does seem to be big mad about the situation of the federal witness dying on Skinner's watch.
The director is up his ass.
Now, why? He's going to get his ass in a sling
yes,
if he doesn't
exactly.
figure this out. Why would you trust Skinner with a case? You know he's going to mess everything up, and he's going to call in the Boo crew, who are like, mm-hmm. it's ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he is going to call in the Boo crew, so that's not good. Does he really mess up cases? He messed up this one.
Yeah. No, I think I'm just being mean because I assume his bosses hate him because of the Mulder Scully stuff.
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't mess up cases himself.
I think he's otherwise competent. He just, you know, he has his special soft spot for
it's true.
His crew.
Yeah. His two bosses, basically.
Yes.
It's true. So anyway, he hangs up on the director. Well, the phone call ends. He doesn't hang up on the director. And he talks to the Boo crew to give them the lowdown. And this is when we learn what the witnessing was going to be about specifically. So Jim Scobie was a biochemist with Morley Tobacco, which we know and love mm-hmm. as the cigarette smoking man's favorite brand.
Yes.
Jim was supposed to be giving testimony against Morley about some research that he had conducted. And no one knows what the evidence was going to be that he was going to present. Not how the court works, but that's okay. And but they know that it didn't sound good for Morley. And the director of the FBI has told Skinner that he is personally responsible for keeping Scobie safe because this is such a high-profile case. Skinner kind of fucked up.
Yes, he did.
That one.
Yeah.
We don't really see any evidence of, like, the news media reacting to this. That could have been fun if we got more, like, of the shots of, like, Mulder and Scully just, like, standing around voguing.
Yeah.
But
Skinner's just covering his face, running. He's got a coat over his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Skinner has called in the Boo crew to help explain how someone got into this locked bathroom with all the FBI agents around and killed Scobie. And he shows them a picture of Scobie's corpse, and Scully's just like, this is disgusting. They're all grossed out. But she theorizes it could have been like an acid or something thrown on his face that ate away at his lips. And Skinner's like, I don't really give a shit. Just figure out what happened. go do the autopsy.
He really does. It's like he called them in and then they like do their thing as they're watching you. He's like, I don't want to hear any of that. It's like, why did you call them in?
Like, you knew what you were getting.
You know they're going to come up with some crazy shit. That's their thing.
It's literally their thing. Come on. I don't know. Maybe he didn't call them. Maybe they just like saw on the news that he was in trouble and just came.
Maybe. To help or to like ruin his day?
Just to ruin his day. Okay. That'll be fun.
All right. Okay.
And so Scully goes off to do the autopsy. Skinner and Mulder continue chatting a little bit. Mulder makes note of the fact that Scobie and his wife don't appear to smoke themselves because there's no ashtrays in the house. Almost like they know something.
Mm-hmm.
But they're benefiting from the sales of cigarettes.
Theme.
Interesting. Skinner and Mulder are going to go talk to Scobie's boss at Morley, but before they leave, Mulder notices the bug in the glass of water, so he's putting all those clues together.
It's probably nothing.
I often just cough up dead bugs into my water.
Same.
Is that a problem?
It's fun.
I know.
Yeah.
It's my business.
Well, they head to the Morley Tobacco headquarters, Skinner and Mulder do. They roll in. There's an insanely ugly desk that I hated very much. It's like a lopsided horseshoe, I guess. It just seems very, like, you have to, like, scoot your whole body in there, and then you're, like, stuck, and you can't get out easily. It just seems not very, I don't know, not a great desk.
Yeah, not ergonomic.
Yes, that's the word.
Do we have a name for Mulder and Skinner when they're together?
Yeah, wasn't a Skinner and Scully is like S-squared, right?
Yeah, which doesn't really work. We don't say it a lot, but...
No. Mulder and Skinner, I don't know if the two of them have a...
Yeah.
Is it just, it's the Scoo Crew minus one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Skimolder. Like a skidoo, but Skimolder.
Skimolder.
That's nothing.
If you Skimolder, we can too.
Yeah. The problem is there's Skulder, but that's the same thing.
What the heck it's taken. Is going on? Mulder's so into skuzz.
That's the real.
And M's.
Yeah. Well, that's canonical. We haven't gotten an M lately.
No.
But one day. Okay. So they're here to see Dr. Peter Voss. So that's Scobie's boss. And the receptionist asks whether they have an appointment. And Skinner and Mulder just pull out their badges and they're like, we're the FBI. And the guy repeats, he's like, do you have an appointment though? And Skinner just like shoves his badge into the guy's face. He's like, maybe you missed that we're from the FBI.
Guy doesn't
Hello.
Give a shit.
And then he pulls his suit open. He's got the female body inspector shirt on.
Nice.
And the guy's like, say no more. Come on in. And they high five.
Yeah. I assume.
Yeah.
A special little ending.
Yeah.
Those first person shooter deleted scene.
Yes, of course. So the receptionist's like a real hard ass, but they don't have to like force their way in because they are greeted by Daniel Brimley, the head of corporate security. I just called this guy Mr. Security in my notes.
Yeah, he's not that relevant. Wait. Oh, is he the guy later?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to recognize who this guy is later, but I don't.
That's him.
And I was going to ask. Okay.
Yes,
so he is relevant, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Security.
Mr. Security.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mr. Security rolls up. He's like, I will take care of you. He's like, he's in a suit. He's really put together. He's a real corporate stooge.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that they are here about Scobie's death. And he kind of says that, like, oh my gosh, everyone here is going to be so sad that Scobie is dead. He'll definitely be missed. He had a lot of friends in this building. And Mulder finds that a little hard to believe. He's like, so no hard feelings about him turning federal or inflicting federal witnessing against you.
Yeah.
And Mr. Security is like, well, nobody was happy that he was doing that. But the timing of his death couldn't have been worse, which doesn't sound like a thing that a friend would say.
Not really.
I just have to say.
That's actually what I would say at any funeral I went to.
Is that true?
Yeah.
The timing couldn't be worse.
It would be fun.
I don't think that's that fun when you're the loved ones of the deceased.
Oh.
I have to say. It comes off as callous and rude.
Well, I usually say, I can't believe I had to miss my stories for this also.
Yeah.
Like,
I think you're
my
just...
way to the front.
No. The front
of the church, okay. Of the funeral.
I think you're making it worse.
Oh.
You're making it worse.
Are you not supposed to kick the coffin?
I think you're not supposed to do that.
Oh.
You're also not supposed to put your Bluetooth speaker in the coffin. I know it's better acoustics, but
it is better acoustics. And they need something to listen to. Also, you can freak out people at the cemetery for a while.
That's true.
While the battery lasts.
That's true. Would the Bluetooth reach that far?
I don't know
if it would.
Probably not. Also, aren't coffins like lined with stuff?
Yeah, I don't think it would work.
But wouldn't it be fun if it did?
It would be, but like, you know, my Bluetooth has trouble when I walk to the other side of the house, so okay. I don't think it would work.
It's only 6 feet.
I guess, but it's like there's all this dirt and coffin and such.
Is Bluetooth stopped by dirt? These are the questions we need answered.
That's why we need Mythbusters to come back.
Come on.
Yeah. So yes. So Skinner kind of pushes and he's like, well, we really need to talk to Dr. Voss. So Mr. Security takes them upstairs to see him.
And it's not just him.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a gigantic conference room with a huge table.
Huge table. Now the horseshoe desk, terrible. This table, wonderful.
You liked this table?
I liked this table.
Okay. What about it?
It was just so big. It looked like you could like have a dance on there, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
I thought it was silly.
Wow.
I thought it was silly big.
Well, it was silly big, but I don't know. I liked it because it was silly big.
Okay. That's fair.
It swung around and was vaguely, not endearing. That's not even the right word.
No.
I just liked it because it was huge ugly.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. You acknowledge it's ugly.
It was garish.
Yes.
It was garish.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be cute if it had like little cigarette patterns on it. That'd be cute. Like a
cigarette
border.
Burns.
Wouldn't that be pretty cute? I don't know.
Cute?
Yeah.
I don't know about cute.
You know, it's on brand.
Okay.
X.
Okay.
Mulder and Skinner are on one side of this table, and there's a gigantic panel of cigarette company executives on the other side. Skinner asks what evidence Scobie was going to produce. I like this because, like, why would they answer?
Yeah.
It's like evidence against. Isn't that, like, literally why the Fifth Amendment exists?
I guess so.
Maybe it doesn't apply to corporate. I mean, maybe it shouldn't, but.
Maybe he was just hoping that he would catch them off guard.
He could trick them.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny that he's like, so, you know, the guy who was going to give us, like, some pretty damning evidence died. What was he going to talk about?
What's it about?
What's that about?
Well, it's just like, you know, most of the time when the FBI rolls up and asks you some questions, you answer them, so.
I wouldn't.
Well, most people do.
Well.
So I think he was just hoping.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I suppose. He's not used to people saying, no, I'm not going to tell you something.
Yeah.
That's fair. They don't answer, shockingly. They also ask why Scobie had recently been like taken off some project, and again, like the lawyer keeps repeating, like interrupting Dr. Voss and saying like Dr. Voss would be in violation of his employment confidentiality agreement if he answered any of this. So we like keep saying that Dr. Voss seems like he might be a little interested in helping Skinner,
yes,
but he is being shackled by what's the word? Prevented from speaking.
He's inflicting.
He's having silence inflicted upon him by the company attorney.
You do get the sense that if the lawyers were not here, he probably would answer their questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he is also, Dr. Voss is from Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, we got to note that.
That's true. What was his name in that? He was like the beard lawyer.
He's the beard lawyer,
the
other
lawyer with the beard.
Yes, yes.
We all know that guy. We continue just like not getting any evidence basically from these people, and Skinner eventually is like, I'm gonna get a warrant if you keep being jerks about this and not answering my questions. And before the meeting ends, Mulder, like, you know, like everyone's getting up and getting ready to leave or whatever. I think the executives are leaving in a bit of a huff at this threat of a warrant.
Well, that really closes down the conversation.
It
when you threaten to get a warrant. It's
I
like,
suppose.
Well,
go get the warrant then.
Yeah.
But Mulder, like, casually throws a little baggie of evidence with the dead bug in it at Dr. Voss. And he's like, what's this bug? And Dr. Voss explains that it is a tobacco beetle, which are all around here because they are all around tobacco plants, And the lawyer is like, why are you even asking about this? And then Mulder, of course.
He gets a sassy little...
A little catty line where he's like, I can't answer that due to the sensitive nature of our investigation.
Ooh.
Just like what the lawyer had been doing to him. Pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we know what kind of bug it is.
I'll say Mulder has a lot of unsuccessful quips in this episode. This was a good one.
This was fun,
a good one. Yeah.
He's trying. He's weirdly quippy in this episode, I would say.
Yeah. And then Voss does smile a little bit, so he enjoyed that.
Yeah.
He loves the bug guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we roll up to... we are calling him Voss, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We roll up to Voss's house, which is very ugly. I just want to note.
Yes.
Just, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, like very tall.
Nick Mansion-y thing with, like, weird pillars in front to look fancy.
It's the pillars.
But the pillars don't match the rest of the architecture of the house.
It's too tall.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
They just sort of look like weird prison bars on a flat house instead of an architectural feature.
A little.
Point.
Yeah. It's just bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Mm-hmm. But big.
So but big.
He's clearly making money.
Yeah. I think McMansion is the right way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's nighttime. Voss is getting home. He pulls into the garage and he does the kind of like staring straight ahead and dissociating move so you can tell he had a bad day at work.
We've all been there.
Yes. And then he gets out of the car and then through the foggy mists outside in his driveway comes Mr. Jigsaw himself. He comes
on the little
tootling up tricycle. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I want to play a game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's doing the little voice.
It's pretty cute.
Yeah. We're just calling him Jigsaw, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's the actor who plays the man, Jigsaw.
Tobin Bell, yes.
Not the little doll.
No.
If you haven't seen from the Saw franchise.
Yes, of course. And if he could be wearing the little hat. I think the puppet has a hat, right?
So special.
Yeah.
It'd be very cute. And he like only communicates and he's like, check your pocket.
Or he could be carrying around the puppet and do like a ventriloquist thing with the puppet.
Oh.
That could also be good.
That'd be what if he's like really bad at it though?
I think that would be better. Yeah. Yes. If you can see his mouth moving.
And he's like on the tricycle, but it's the tricycle sized for the doll.
These are a lot of great ideas.
They could have done this. It's like they didn't care. When did Saw come out?
After this.
Might have been why they didn't care.
It was like 2004 or something.
But yeah. They should have known. Wouldn't that have been creepier?
It would have been something.
And then, like, the doll's also smoking a cigarette.
No, that's just fun.
Yeah.
That's just fun.
You think it's fun that little dolls are getting into nicotine addictions?
I think that's the least of the Saw doll's crimes.
Fair enough. Can the doll be held culpable?
I guess not, because it's just a doll. I don't know.
I haven't seen all of them.
I'm assuming he's, like, sentient, right? It's like a Chucky situation.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Saw. We're here to talk about the X-Files. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Jigsaw rolls up. He's a real, like, blue-collar kind of guy, so he's quite the contrast to the besuited Dr. Voss. And from the way that they talk to each other, it is clear that they do know each other, and Voss is not happy to see him. So Jigsaw is like, yeah, I'm here because I'm out of smokes, and me and Scobie, we had a little arrangement, as you well know, and now that Scobie isn't around, my arrangement just kind of slides on over to you. And this is not good news for Voss, whatever this situation was.
Mm-mm-mm.
So Voss reluctantly reaches into his briefcase and he does give Jigsaw 2 packs of cigarettes. And he says, like, I'm sorry, but this isn't going to hold me for very long. And Voss says that he will get him more, but he just can't come around my house. You got to leave. You got to get out of here. And then Jigsaw is like, you know, everyone around here is acting real funny. They're telling me not to talk. They're telling me not to come by your house. Makes the guy feel a little unwanted, you know? Makes a guy want to put you into a Saw trap. You know?
I would watch out with this guy.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He's got a lot of Saw traps.
This is how you get it put into a Saw trap.
I mean, literally, what would the Saw trap be like? You have to smoke 5,000 cigarettes in one sitting.
Something like that. Yeah, sure.
Something wild.
Yeah.
To make a point.
To learn an important lesson about loving life.
That's what all Jigsaw cares about.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Yes, yes. He hates murderers.
He's got a weird way of showing it.
Yes. Okay, so Jigsaw, he kind of intuits that he knows what happened to Scobie, and he sort of obliquely threatens Voss, then he walks off. So we're getting the... He doesn't say anything outright, but yeah. He's clearly threatening him.
He's subtle about it, though.
Yes, he's very subtle.
Wink.
Yeah.
And then he says, wink out loud, and he winks.
He does.
Yeah.
And his puppet winks.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. We cut to the autopsy that Scully has been doing. Mulder and Skinner roll in and ask her what she has found. And we learn that this like tissue damage that we could see on Scobie's lips and everything goes all the way into his like lungs and up his trachea and out his mouth.
She says his lungs look like corned beef.
I didn't care for
that's
that.
That's really gross.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's very evocative description. Oh,
I just want to take care of my lungs suddenly.
Yeah.
We do also, like, I know they've done this before, but I still like it every time. We get cool shots of the gore only reflected in Scully's goggles versus seeing it head on, which is always a cool shot. Yeah. Thanks, Kim.
I think that's a Kim Manners special, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah.
Kim Manners is special to me, I can tell you that
that's
much.
That's true.
There was, what Scully did not find was any evidence of a corrosive agent, though. And it seems like, strictly speaking, the cause of death was just hypoxemia. Hypoxemia.
Yes.
Yeah. So just like the inability of the lungs to transfer oxygen to the blood or whatever. And Skinner is like,
what the hell does that mean?
But someone still did this, right? Like, he was still murdered, right? I don't know your science words.
Yeah.
And
he's chewing on a big piece of wheat
recently.
Wearing suspenders. Yeah.
I don't know what happened in this episode. It gets weird.
Yeah.
And a little offensive.
A little offensive, a little broad,
but sure. It is what it is. He just like, he's always so tense and he's always so like mad. He's like always asking questions. So it always sounds like he's like angry while he's asking them. He's like, what does this mean?
It's his thing.
I know. I love it. It's fantastic. And Mulder theorizes that maybe it was not a homicide, and he asks Scully if she found any tobacco beetles, and she's like, I didn't see any freak shit like that. And then Skinner's just like, killer bugs? Am I supposed to tell the director of the FBI, my boss, that it was killer bugs? You invited the Boo Crew.
Mm-hmm.
What did you expect them to say?
Mm-hmm. You brought the Bigfoot division in here, and you get mad at them when they talk about Bigfoot.
It's ridiculous. I know it's like their thing, and they're all into it.
I know. It's their sick little game. But,
exactly. You know. No one even has to witness this. They're just like silent in their little autopsy room.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Ugh. But it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. So... yes. So that seems to be Mulder's like current theory. And do you think Skinner's going to apologize to Mulder after this for making fun of the killer bug theory?
No. Has Skinner ever apologized for anything in his life?
No.
Well,
yeah, technically.
Technically, but it's been awkward.
Yeah.
I feel like he apologizes while not looking at you, you know, and is walking out the door while he does it.
Yeah. And he like mutters it with his teeth clenched.
Yes.
So Mulder, you know, he's used to this, obviously. So he's like, well, you know, based on Voss's reaction to the beetle, I just think this is worth investigating. So, you know, there's no stopping this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we head to the happening downtown Winston-Salem. Looks like a real cool place.
Hell yeah.
So we check in with Jigsaw, who is hanging out in his shitty apartment. It is nasty.
It's worse than the Smoking Man's by a long shot.
It is, which is saying something.
Yeah. He was prepping for the Saw bathroom in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was doing research.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the walls are just like really yellow and
dripping with goo. They're not literally, but
it feels that way. They're like really pockmarked. They're like popcorny wall. It's just gross.
Grimy, nasty.
Yeah.
Very fallen into disrepair.
He could spruce the place up a little bit.
Yeah.
If he cared.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't. Did he get a second apartment for the puppet?
Oh. Like a little studio?
Yeah.
Or did he just build a tiny little apartment within his apartment?
That's cuter, isn't it?
It is cuter.
Okay, all right.
Oh, boy. Does the puppet have to pay rent? But like an equivalent share, like a small amount?
Yeah, I think so. Just peanuts?
That's pretty cute.
He just slides peanuts across the table.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh.
I guess it would be cigarettes, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Does the tricycle have a bell? Does he bell when he approaches?
I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he rings his little bell and gets like one, places one penny. That's on the counter.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And I assume the puppet's apartment is much nicer.
Oh, absolutely. The yeah. puppet's like entertaining other like ventriloquy dummies. It's like
postmodern.
Yeah. It's like having babes over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like an odd couple thing where the puppet's like, Jigsaw, man, you gotta clean up. You gotta do the dishes. This is ridiculous. And Jigsaw's like, whatever.
There's a laugh track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So while his puppet is having a wonderful time with the babes, Jigsaw is just kind of sitting there alone, smoking, watching shitty TV, the cigarette smoking man way.
They could be friends. Like, they really could be like the friends who just happen to go to the same bar at the same time and sit next to each other and mm-hmm. are like, that's my best friend, but they've never actually spoken.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels right. Yeah, I think I admired this episode's restraint in not mentioning the smoking man not even once.
Yeah.
But he was embodying him.
Yeah.
So, yes. So he's just hanging out, doing his thing. His next door neighbor has an equally shitty apartment, and he starts kind of pounding on the walls and demanding that Jigsaw put his cigarette out because he can smell the smoke and he does not want to smell it. And Jigsaw's like, whatever, America, man, it's my right as an American to smoke all I want. And then his neighbor starts coughing a lot, which we know is bad. And then there's blood all over his hand, the Walter White way.
Uh-oh.
And then back in Jigsaw's apartment, he hears his neighbor abruptly stop talking and collapse. And he does nothing.
Does not give a shit.
Because he's an American.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to do anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Freedom.
That's right. And then we see the neighbor kind of face down on the ground. There are tobacco beetles crawling all over the ground, all over his body. It's really disgusting. And then we do see that his mouth has also been eaten away.
Gnarly.
Yuck.
Killer bugs.
I know that it's for drama and it's a TV show and it doesn't have to make sense, but this happens very quickly. I feel like there are bugs hatching in your lungs.
I think the implication is that he's been smoking in his apartment because the guy's like, stop doing it. You're doing it again.
I mean, yes, that. But I mean the what's happening to him physically.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
I feel like he wouldn't just like die. Like, I feel like he would be coughing up bugs for a while before he died. You know,
that's a good point.
But it's a TV show. It's fine. Right.
Maybe he has coughed up bugs a couple times and he's just ignored it.
I guess if I lived in a place like that, I would just be like, yeah, this is just what happens here. That
makes sense.
Yeah.
Checks out. It's pretty gnarly.
It is.
Investigation station, the Scoo crew have arrived to investigate this neighbor's death, and Mulder quips guests check in, but they don't check out and no one reacts.
I did notice he does that and no one reacts, and then he kind of like rubs his ear, looks kind of embarrassed.
That's pretty cute, actually. Like, it was an acting choice.
I think he realized that it was bad.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like the neighbor obviously died in the same way as Scobie, but they are confused because the neighbor was not a corporate whistleblower, so why would someone want to assassinate him?
That they know of.
That they know of. Very judgmental, by the way, but that's okay. The unspoken classism of the X-Files strikes again. Mulder picks up one of the live tobacco beetles and puts it in an evidence bag and says, these men weren't murdered. They were bugged. He doesn't say that, but wouldn't it be funny if he did? Anyway, and he theorizes that we see all the bugs here, or like some of them, but probably the same thing happened to Scobie. It's just that all the bugs were able to leave the house through the open window in the bathroom. And
just all trooping out in a little line.
Cute. That's pretty cute. Oh,
with their little knapsacks over their shoulders.
God. Oh, I'm making it on my own for the first time in my life.
Exactly.
Outside of the lung of my father.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's just like having a million kids. Isn't that sweet? The neighbor didn't even seem to appreciate that he was giving birth to bugs.
Sure. I guess. In a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
In a way. And Scully says, well, if it's the bugs, there might be other victims in this building, so you should go talk to people alone without me and Skinner.
Yes.
Mulder, you go ahead.
Yeah. So Mulder goes and pounds on Jigsaw's door, and Jigsaw does invite him in. He's very, as polite as this man can be, I guess. So Mulder asks whether Jigsaw knew the dead man, and Jigsaw that he sure knew his voice because he yelled a lot. His neighbor thought that he smoked too much, but what are you going to do? It's a free country.
America.
Mm-hmm. And then he does start smoking in front of Mulder as well, which is rude, but as we learn later, also dangerous.
Yes.
Yes.
Does he know that the cigarettes are doing this?
He definitely knows by the end of the episode. I'm unclear whether he knows at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he probably does, right? And he just doesn't care?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Unclear.
Okay.
Yeah, so he does seem very unconcerned that his neighbor is dead. We do learn that his name is Daryl Weaver, but we're going to keep calling him Jigsaw.
Mm-hmm.
So Mulder just persists and he asks him if he saw anything unusual. And Jigsaw will not answer unless there is a reward of some kind. The American way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mulder doesn't have one for him, so Jigsaw just keeps on smoking. He's like, gosh, I'm sorry, I just can't think of anything. But it's clear he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not telling. So Mulder gives him his card and heads out. Have we talked about what Mulder's card looks like?
No, I don't think so.
I think it would be fun if it had some like stickers on it.
That would be pretty good. Like he put them on there himself.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Each one is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. He has a Sharpie and does a little smiley face.
That's pretty cute. He like signs each card.
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
You know, like when you get the bill at a restaurant and the waitress does a little message. Mulder does that when he gives somebody his card.
That'd be very special. And I think he would, but they never show it because they're cowards.
Yeah.
Basically.
Wow.
So.
It's messed up.
I know.
You know what also is messed up?
Yeah.
Mulder having to breathe all this secondhand smoke.
We know, we haven't brought it up a lot lately, but
mm-hmm.
as we've famously talked about here on Scully Nation, Mulder hates cigarettes.
He does.
Canonically.
He does.
And not just because of the smoking man. Didn't he hate them before the smoking man showed up?
Did he?
Maybe not. Maybe it was just because of the smoking man.
I don't remember that.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
This is why, again, we need the fan wiki.
We do. So, yeah. So Mulder heads out back in the hallway. Skinner and Scully haven't found anything either. I guess I don't believe that they actually interviewed anybody.
They're just standing there.
They are.
There's no way.
They're gossiping. They're letting Mulder do all the work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know how
they're
it is.
They're like, oh, yeah, if someone's going to get bugs, then it's not going to be either of us.
Exactly. So they're like, I don't know. We don't really have anything to go on. Scully does mention that she knows an entomologist over at the college, a Dr. Libby Nance. So maybe she can help. And Mulder's like, yeah, that's a great idea. You should go talk to her. But he is going to head out. He has to check into something that's been bugging him.
Mm-hmm. Is he like trying to impress her or something? Is Scully like, this is what I have to deal with all the time, Skinner? Now you understand.
I mean, he's always quippy.
I know.
He is like 10% more quippier.
Yeah.
More quippier? More quippy.
Quippier. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that I wouldn't also be doing this, so I get it.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
So we follow Mulder to Dr. Voss's house, where his wife just answers the door and is like, hi, here's my daughter, just so you can see what a beautiful family Dr. Voss has to lose.
Basically.
And then she, like, shoves the daughter away, and she's like, go back into your closet. We're not plot points. We are just, we are plot points.
We are.
We're symbols.
Yes.
We're not people.
Yes.
And then they go and just, like, cease to exist after they exit our view.
Mm-hmm.
Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Voss comes outside to talk to Mulder in the front yard, where the wife and kid can't hear. And Mulder, you know, says, I understand your reluctance to talk. Obviously, you've got a lot to lose. I just saw your wife and kid. But there's been another bug victim, so we need to chat. And Voss does seem genuinely upset to hear that someone else has died, but he still seems very nervous about telling the FBI anything. So Mulder shows Voss the tobacco beetle that he found at the second location, and he's like, maybe they eat people. Think that could be it?
Mm-hmm.
You think the bugs eat people? And then he's like trying to shame Voss into doing the right thing or whatever. He's like, how many more people have to die before you'll betray your company? And Voss kind of goes back inside without answering. And he's like, I can't do it. I shan't. But inside, Voss watches Mulder drive away. And then he gets a call from who I now know is Mr. Security.
Yes.
I was like, is it the lawyer? I don't think so.
No. Fully, Mr. Security.
Fully forgot Mr. Security existed.
Yep.
It's Mr. Security. We've seen him before, and I've recognized him with my brain.
Yes.
Easily, as always. And Mr. Security is also watching Voss from a car outside his house. And he's like, what did he say? What did Mulder say to you? What did you say to him? What's going on? And, you know, Voss is all like pretending to be big mad that he's being spied on or whatever. But it's like, you can't be that surprised.
Yeah.
He's probably not that surprised. They talk kind of furtively about how Voss thinks that this, whatever this is, has gone on long enough. And Voss really kind of wants to come forward at this point. And Mr. Security is like, no. He's doing his little finger wag. And he's like, don't be doing that or I'll kill you.
I mean, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
He's very subtly, he says it. And then he's like, by the way, where's Jigsaw? I want to kill him too. And Voss is like, I don't know where Jigsaw is, man. That's your business. You're going to have to figure that out.
Head to Saw City.
But he does know where Jigsaw is.
Yeah, he does. Also, you can just go to the nastiest, grodiest bathroom that you know, and he'll be there.
He always shows up. Yeah. If you actually don't clean your bathroom for a while, he just shows up on the floor. Or is that a spoiler?
I guess. It came out a million. Come on.
He's on the floor.
Come on.
With Carrie Elwes.
Sure.
Deal with it.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Well, we head to UNC Wilmington, where we meet a cool entomologist, although I feel like they could have brought back Bambi. Could have
been
doing a Skype call with Bambi.
That would have been pretty fun. Miss her.
Although I guess we learned in that one episode that doing like a Skype call these days costs like $1 million or something.
And I think it would be worth it.
Yeah. So, yeah, some other woman and Scully and Skinner are here. And so she is looking at one of the tobacco beetles up close, which is disgusting because we have to see it like moving around those little
legs. Which is fine. It's beautiful. Its nature is beautiful in all of its variations.
I guess so.
It's
pretty gross. So she says that it is indeed a tobacco beetle, but she has never seen one quite like this before. And she talks about all sorts of like deviations in the body segmentation and all these like little things that are different. And Scully asks whether these changes could have come from genetic engineering or something. And she brings up the idea of transgenomics.
I think.
Thank you. And then Skinner again appears with the the shred of wheat, and he's like, "Now what the hell is that, Scully?
You know, I don't know your complex science words.
Transgenomics.
We already talked about this.
Yes, which again is very offensive.
I don't think that he's putting on the accent.
It's just not
as
okay.
If that, like, implies anything about your ability to understand scientific terminology.
I'm just troubled by this. You know,
it's also just really goofy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
a tonal shift.
Sure,
that I take issue with. But that's fine.
Yeah. But I do like the suspenders.
Yes.
Yeah.
He should do that more often. Shirt under the suspenders or just raw?
I was thinking shirt, but I like, raw. Sure.
There you go. You know, skin to suspender action.
So Skinner's voguing in the background. He's doing his... What's a
steel?
Sure, there you go. I was thinking he was posing for, I don't know, Farmers Weekly.
Hell yeah!
Is there a Farmers Model magazine? Probably not.
Farmers Almanac, but
sexy.
The swimsuit edition.
Yes, there we go. We got it. So Scully explains that this is a form of DNA manipulation and alterations that are made on a genetic level to different kinds of life forms. And the entomologist says that actually tobacco companies are famously pouring a lot of money into that kind of research. They are trying to change the tobacco plant itself to do all sorts of things, create more nicotine, less nicotine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In essence, trying to create a form of super tobacco. And Scully theorizes that this might have created a form of super bugs.
Mm.
And the real question is whether these bugs are dangerous to humans.
Unintended consequences.
Of greed.
Corporate hiding of bad stuff. What's that word?
Corporate, I don't know.
Well, whatever. You know, themes.
Corporate hiding of bad stuff.
Yeah. Themes.
There you go.
Voss goes to Jigsaw's apartment, meanwhile.
In his street clothes.
So he does know where Jigsaw lives. Interesting.
He does. Yeah.
And Jigsaw, they have a tense conversation again where we learn that Jigsaw is apparently some kind of guinea pig for the tobacco company. And I don't know. There's also just like, they're saying a lot without saying a lot.
Yes.
You know. Voss tells Jigsaw that he needs to leave town and hands him a bunch of cash. And I think he says, this is everything I have in the bank.
He does.
And it's like $4,000.
Yes. I noticed that too.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe in one bank account.
Maybe in one bank account. Yeah. Just like in his checking account or something. Or is he trying to like, does he think that Jigsaw is so stupid that he wouldn't realize that a tobacco executive would have more than $4,000 on hand?
Yeah, maybe the second.
Yeah.
Or maybe the writers just didn't think about it.
I guess. It'd be pretty wild. Or he's just really bad with money.
Or that.
I guess that's
maybe
possible.
He's almost broke.
He spent all that money on that house. Mm-hmm. What if he doesn't get paid that much? Mm-hmm. What if he gets paid like $30,000 a year?
Maybe.
He's just really bad at negotiating.
Yeah, could be.
Anyway, so.
He seems like kind of a putz.
He does seem like, yeah, I think he would. There's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
That he's like, he's in it for the love of the science.
Of course.
Anyway, so he
for the love of cigarettes.
Exactly. As we all have.
Yeah.
So Voss hands Jigsaw all this money, and Jigsaw is like, that's great. This is a good start, but I am not going to leave town. And then he gets ready to light up a cigarette next to Voss, and it seems like he's making like obscure threatening comments, like he knows that lighting up the cigarette is going to be dangerous for Voss in some way.
Something he does know.
Beyond just secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
It seems like. So why do they keep giving him cigarettes?
Because
they would take away his power to do this if they just stopped giving him cigarettes, right?
But if they stop giving him cigarettes, then he's going to expose the project.
Oh, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Old bitches.
Yes.
Okay.
And Voss clearly knows what's going to happen because he, like, flinches when he opens his lighter. So
yeah,
they all know
they're
what's
all
going on
freaked out
here.
About lung bugs.
Yes.
And yeah, so he's like, whatever. This Voss, what happens? Like, and then Voss, like, says, like, oh, yeah. Okay. Voss is like, the company's going to kill you. They're not going to let you endanger their profits, basically. So he's like, you know, there's no reason that you need to do this, but you should leave town because you are going to get killed by this company if you don't. And Jigsaw does not seem worried about this at all. He's like, whatever, man. I got my cigarettes and my confidence. And I have a saw trap ready to go in my basement for all of the executives. Mm-hmm. So I don't care.
There you go.
Voss leaves the apartment, and we see as he's leaving, Mr. Security is also like there spying on him. So he's clearly been following him, knows that he was lying, and knows where Jigsaw is now.
Mm. Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Later on, Scully is in the morgue. Skinner is there. He's kind of looming over Scully's shoulder and making a face, which we think is funny, but then we see what they're looking at, and then we understand.
Yeah.
So we see that Scully is examining the neighbor's lung, which is absolutely crawling with maggots. It is disgusting.
So gnarly.
So she is saying that this is where all of the beetles came from.
Yeah, I bet.
So Mulder walks in, she shows him the lung, and Mulder also makes a little face and, like, sits as far away as he possibly can, which I get. Mm-hmm. So Skinner wonders why they did not see that same kind of thing in Scobie's lungs. And Scully says that the larvae pupate inside the lungs, and then when they mature into beetles, they exit en masse through the throat and mouth. So this would explain all of the skin being eaten away around the mouth. But the real question is how the bugs got into the lungs in the first place, which is a good question. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't believe that there would be no evidence of this in Scobie's lungs.
No.
If millions of bugs hatched in there.
Yeah. Like, it like tore them up and stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess the idea is that all of those bugs, like, yeah, like you said, simultaneously became beetles and left. Whereas this guy seems to have, like, a second wave of just the maggots.
Yeah.
I get, and it's like I don't know. Maybe they didn't leave Scobie's lungs lying around long enough for the eggs to hatch?
Well, it had been a bit, right? It had been at least a day, and that's like about the same amount of time that this guy's been dead.
It doesn't make any sense.
And wouldn't there be like egg residue or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't have to, I guess.
It's just gross.
It is gross. So they're kind of talking about that, wondering what's going on, and then off screen, Mulder coughs very gently, which we immediately know is a death sentence. Yep. And then almost immediately he starts like hacking away, and there is blood on his hands.
There is blood on his hands.
Well, both figuratively and literally.
Uh-oh. Yep. That's not good. So we smash cut to the operating room where they are just like vacuuming larvae out of Mulder's lungs with like a Hoover. It's so gross.
It's really disgusting.
It's pretty gnarly. Yeah. Like, just take me out at that point. I don't want to live.
It's just like a jar full of like maggoty worms and lung fluid.
Yeah.
It's really gross.
Yeah. Mulder.
Yeah. Out of Mulder. Out of our guy.
He uses his lungs. He likes jogging.
Every day.
Every day. Ay, ay, ay.
Gross.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. Scully walks out of the OR to go talk to Skinner, and they are apparently having some luck clearing Mulder's lungs, but they're full of eggs as well as the active larva, so the eggs are going to hatch one day, so they're really just buying time. And Scully thinks that Mulder inhaled the smoke from the cigarettes that had tiny beetle eggs in it. And Skinner is like, that doesn't make any sense. Mulder hates cigarettes. He would never inhale cigarette smoke.
Yeah. When he walks past somebody smoking, he holds his breath.
Exactly. Come on. And Scully's like, I don't know. Maybe he was around a smoker at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Secondhand beetle smoke.
Secondhand smoke does kill.
Thank you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It puts beetles in your lungs.
Exactly. So back at Morley, now we head to the lab where there are a bunch of tobacco plants. And Skinner comes marching in. He is on a mission. We meet Voss and the bitchy lawyer from before. And this time they have a search warrant, and he kind of slaps it into the lawyer's hand, and the lawyer's like, all right, you got me, man. You got me. So Skinner demands that Voss tell him what's going on now. And the lawyer says that this information is still proprietary. They're not going to cooperate no matter what he says. And Skinner's like, this is about saving lives. You have to cooperate. And then Voss is also thinking that enough is enough. He's like, okay, we were trying to save lives, and this has gone on long enough, and I'm going to tell him what he wants to know. And then I like that the lawyer just kind of like gives up and leaves at that point.
Not what a lawyer would do.
No.
Either, per se. But.
I feel like he would still stick around and try to, like, minimize how much Voss is saying.
Yeah.
You know? But
traditionally.
He's like, all right, I'll head out.
See you later. You got this.
So Voss is ready to talk. So Skinner gets a chair and he sits down and listens.
Sits down, like, backwards in the chair, like a cool teacher.
Yes, of course.
Oh, he doesn't.
No. So Voss says that what they were really trying to do with this project is genetically engineer a safer cigarette. So they were doing all sorts of, genetic engineering, but they accidentally made this bug instead. So he talks about how they recruited all of these test subjects and smokers, and for the first couple of months, there were no problems. Everything was going great. But then things got kind of bad. So they had 4 test subjects, which does not seem like enough for a study.
No.
But whatever. But then after a couple of months, 3 of the 4 had died. So that was what Scobie was going to testify about. The company wanted to keep that quiet. But Voss is very troubled about this. He wants to come clean. He wants to face the consequences so that this kind of thing doesn't happen again. And Scobie... he tells him how Scobie was monitoring a focus group, and that's how he got infected in the first place. And then Skinner's like, okay, that's all well and good, but what about this 4th test subject? Where is he now? And Voss says, in a really disgusting bathroom. Check it out.
Any disgusting bathroom. You don't have to find the right one. He'll appear.
He's like Bloody Mary, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So we smash cut to Skinner and some other random agents kicking down Jigsaw's apartment door, guns blazing. I like that because I guess they have reason to believe that this guy killed Scobie, but they know that the bugs are the thing that killed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that the company developed those, and they just know that Jigsaw hasn't died from the test cigarettes that have killed everyone else. It just feels like an overreaction for Skinner to automatically assume that Jigsaw is like a huge criminal doing it on purpose to the extent that they kicked down his door.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. That's a good point. I guess, like, we know that he's doing it on purpose, but I guess they don't know that.
Like, wouldn't it sound like he was just a victim?
Yes. Well, I mean, I guess they knew that that's how Mulder got infected, is by being around him.
Yeah.
But, yes, you're right. They have no reason to know that he was doing it on purpose.
Also, I might wear, like a mask while I went to this guy's apartment.
That's true. But you can't get Skinner to wear a mask.
You can't Monday morning quarterback with Skinner, super anti-mask during 2020.
No, I don't think he's like that.
No, come on. So whatever, they're like kicking down Jigsaw's apartment door, and his apartment seems to be empty until they find Mr. Security tied and gagged in a chair. And so now they know that he has been doing crimes, clearly.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Fair enough. When Skinner removes the gag from Mr. Security's mouth, Mr. Security opens his mouth and millions of beetles pour out of it,
mm-hmm.
which is really gross. And Skinner just looks like, oh, gross.
He just looks really disgusted.
Just judgmental.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. He cannot control his facial expressions very well.
Yeah.
So
that's why he gets along with Mulder and Scully so well.
Yeah.
You know?
And less so with the rest of the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not good.
No.
For Mr. Security, I guess. No. But I don't really care about him.
I mean, he kinda
so
sucked.
It's fine. So, meanwhile, Jigsaw is at a gas station. He gets out of Mr. Security's car, I assume, that he stole.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Because when the cops come, yep.
Yeah. Because it has, like, a Morley bumper sticker, so it belongs to somebody at the company. So, he gets out of the gas at the gas station, and he even throws a lit cigarette on the ground, and then he lights up another one right in front of the no smoking sign.
Come on, Jigsaw.
Not cool. Just like the smoking man before him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is the smoking man, like, inhabiting his body or
he
something?
Might be.
Is this, like, a possession situation, or...
I would believe that the smoking man could possess someone. That feels like something he would do.
Maybe.
What a freak.
I guess.
Ugh.
So he heads inside and, he asks for something, and then the guy doesn't tell him, and then he just, like, puts money in the attendant's shirt, which is really annoying.
Yeah, that's
weird. But he is also smoking the entire time, and we never see this attendant again, so does he die, or is he fine?
I mean, there's also a later point where Skinner is quite close to smoke.
Yeah.
And he's fine, so I don't know what the... Mulder's just, I guess, susceptible to plot happening at him.
Skinner was, like, halfway... He was, like... It was a pretty big room.
And
he was, like, halfway across the room.
Okay.
But the attendant was, like, right up in his face.
Yeah, so I don't know. That guy's just dead, full of beetles somewhere.
I guess so.
No one cares.
That's sad. He got a little tip before he went, though.
Yeah.
So that's special.
They care about Mulder. They don't really care about anyone else.
I guess so. So he's doing his thing, and then outside the cops arrive and check out the car, so they have been looking for it, and then the attendant sees that, he looks away, and then he looks back, and Jigsaw is gone.
In his place, just a little doll on the tricycle.
He is going away on the tricycle.
Yeah.
Pedaling slowly.
Yeah, that's cute. We cut back to Scully visiting a Mulder post lung hoovering, and he does look worse for the wear.
Yes.
He's not doing good. She does hold his little hand, and he croaks out, "I feel like a dustbuster attacked me." So at least he's still goofing, which is positive.
He's always goofing. He also isn't on oxygen.
No.
Which is troubling to me.
Yeah. He's like, they hoovered out his lung. They hoovered bugs out of his lungs.
And they literally know that the other guy died because he didn't have oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like they should be doing a little bit more to care for this guy, mm-hmm. but no mm-hmm. one gives a
shit.
They
just threw him in a bed. They're like, you're on your own.
They don't have a lot of budget, okay?
Yeah, I guess.
It's fine. So Scully tells Mulder about Jigsaw, who seems to have an immunity to this cigarette situation, and maybe Jigsaw is the key to treating Mulder if they can figure out why he's immune. And then Mulder starts choking, because he can't get oxygen into his lungs through all the bugs and larvae. And Scully seems genuinely surprised. She's like, what? Can you breathe? What's happening? Girl, you just hoovered his lungs. You were there.
Yeah, she
you
was.
You know there's bugs growing in them. He can't breathe.
No.
So she calls the doctor in, who also seems kind of shocked by this chain of events. Mm-hmm. And she's also, of course, like, you need to call code. You need to do this. You need to do this. And the doctor's like, yes, ma'am.
Of course.
Classic Scully. And they, you know, they do get an oxygen mask on Mulder eventually. Scully just looks very worried, and we see a full-grown beetle exit Mulder's orifices under the oxygen mask.
Ew.
His lungs are just full of squirming maggots.
Yeah.
And bugs.
That's really disgusting.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
No, I wouldn't like that myself if that happened to me.
That's a pretty upsetting situation to be in, to be quite honest with you.
Yes. Yes.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Just breathe deeply right now. Feel how wonderful it is.
I can feel the worms in my lungs.
Oh, shit. Well, we need to hurry up and finish this before you die then. Yeah. All right. Priorities.
Thank you.
All right. So later on, Scully is standing in the hallway looking mournfully in at Mulder's hospital room. She's worried. The doctor shows up. He says that they have Mulder stabilized for the moment, but not for long.
They have him on ECMO, and he's just like, whatever. I understand it's like a TV show, but the fact that he's just like, fine, like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Amazing recovery.
Yep.
Not to spoil the episode, but that's like something you like, it's pretty serious.
Yes.
Pretty serious.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
It's how TV shows work.
I know. I don't know. I know. It's just funny.
Yes. The doctor shows Scully an x-ray of Mulder's lungs, and they're just, like, absolutely riddled with bugs and maggots. And it's so disgusting.
Oh, I'm gonna throw up.
This is in the running for the most disgusting thing on this show, for real.
Really nasty.
It is. Yeah, and he says the larvae are actually starting to block the flow of blood. So gross.
Ugh.
So the doctor thinks that they might have to go in and actually crack his chest open, and Scully says, I don't know about that. I think Mulder might be a little weak for thoracic surgery. He would die on the table, and more importantly, he's the main character, so we don't have to do that.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Just wait a couple minutes.
Yes. And the doctor's like, I don't know what other options we have. Like, we have to do that if we want to keep him alive. And Scully says that she just wants to wait, but that's going to kill Mulder sooner or later.
Ay, ay, ay.
Eesh.
Well, Skinner's still trying to figure out what's going on. He goes to the Voss residence with these other agents again. I like the other agents who, like, never have any lines or personality.
Sure. Just
kind of there.
Yeah. It's exciting that Skinner's actually following this case and he hasn't just, like, left and gone back to Washington like he usually does.
Exactly. If Mulder hadn't gotten lung bugs, mm-hmm. he probably would have.
After seeing Mr. Security, he'd be like,
yeah.
I'm out.
I'm done. I don't have to do this, actually.
Yeah.
So they're at the Voss residence, and Voss's wife is there, and she's like really shocked that they are apparently suddenly the FBI is doing protective custody at them suddenly.
Yes.
And she's like, I don't even know where my husband is, and I haven't been able to get in contact with him, which doesn't seem like a good sign.
Mm-mm.
So Skinner rushes to the Morley offices after dark, where the tobacco plants are getting misted with some water. I just thought that was a fun little thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's always so exciting when you're at the grocery store and the vegetables are getting their little bag.
It is exciting.
I love that shit.
Yes.
Love that shit. Skinner's creeping around, gun out, and he sees Voss kind of on the ground, bleeding like he's been hit in the face by someone. And Voss is like, behind you. And we turn around and see Jigsaw is there stealing cartons of these test cigarettes. And Skinner, you know, has his gun pointed at him, and he's like, stop right there. And Jigsaw, you know, taunts him a little bit. He's like, you need me to save your boy, so there's no way you're gonna shoot me. And he does say your boy, which he is really cute.
He does say that.
I realize that sounds like something I just said, but no. He does say your boy.
Yeah. He knows.
He knows. Come on.
Yeah.
And then he puts a cigarette in his mouth and threatens to light it. Mm. Skinner's like, don't you do that. And then it's like, you know, the metaphor from, what's that John Green novel? Where it's like you put the thing that can kill you between your teeth, but you don't give it the power to kill you or whatever.
Yep. Fault in Our Stars?
Thank you.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But it's like to kill other people, I guess.
Yeah.
In this case, with bug lungs, which I don't think was the point in
I don't think that came up.
I don't even know if they mentioned bug lungs.
Not even once.
Interesting, yeah. John Green. Yeah. Why the stunning silence?
Wow.
Anyway, so Jigsaw's threatening Skinner and Voss, and then he starts kind of rambling about how monologuing. It's not a ramble, it's a monologue.
Yeah, please.
Monologuing about how he thinks Voss and Morley are onto something with this research and how, you know, maybe they can make a safer cigarette. And maybe all these early deaths are just part of the scientific process. And then he talks about how he is a scientific marvel, and this is going to kind of be the thing that gives him meaning in life. He is going to be studied. He's going to be written about. He could even be the cure for cancer. And he does actually light the cigarette at this point. And Skinner looks at him, and then we cut back to Jigsaw, and Jigsaw keeps monologuing, and then Skinner stares at him some more. Yeah. Like, the cigarette's just, like, going. There's just smoke, deadly
I love this.
Bug lung smoke pouring into the room. And Skinner just keeps, like, staring at him, like, threateningly. And he's like, I'm going to do it if you don't put that out.
Yeah.
I'm going to count to 10. I assume this is how he disciplines Mulder and Scully, too, which is why they walk all over him.
See?
It's just...
It's a pattern.
He's not good at putting down the law, I will say.
Yeah.
Like...
He's all bark and no bite.
He's got the risk of having bug lungs. I would shoot someone if I had the risk of having bug lungs,
kidding.
Frankly. But it's like, I mean, legitimately 30 to 45 seconds
just
Skinner doing nothing except blankly staring at Jigsaw. And then he finally shoots Jigsaw as Jigsaw's walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Skinner goes and stomps out the cigarette, all cool and stuff. But it's like, it didn't need to be that long. I think the editor got a little excited in the editing booth on this one. It was like, more reaction shots, more reaction shots.
Yeah, I mean, they have like 45 straight minutes of footage of Skinner staring. So you got to use some of it.
Oh, yeah. He's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can stare.
And that's why editing is so important.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm.
So later they're at the hospital, they're wheeling Jigsaw in, and Skinner meets with Scully, and he asks how Mulder is, and she says, not good. But now they have Jigsaw, so they can put all the clues together. So they need to do some blood work on him so they can figure out what is going wrong with Mulder. Jigsaw, he's been shot in the shoulder, so they're prepping him for surgery. And Scully sees his tobacco-stained fingers, and then she has, like, a brainwave. She's like, oh my god, I need some nicotine. This is gonna save Mulder's life. I don't know why... She came upon this idea right now.
End of the episode.
But it's like, you knew he was a smoker this entire time, but like, oh my god, he's got the finger thing.
I don't know.
What
I guess
is going
she just realized, she put two and two together about nicotine. Maybe.
She was also very special, and she said the scientific name for nicotine. She's like, give me the blah, 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 whatever, stat. And the doctor's like, you mean nicotine?
That's dumb as hell.
All right. But importantly... Mulder's good.
Yeah. Maybe Scully got to take over the time loop to help solve the case when Mulder was incapacitated.
Mm. Yeah, I think it transfers to her when Mulder's having some issues.
She's next of kin.
Yeah.
I guess literally, right?
In the time loop?
No. Oh, sorry. I guess she's literally his next of kin at this point.
She's around him more often than anyone else.
Yeah.
Well, he has no one else.
Yeah.
I was thinking Scully has other people. Mulder doesn't.
No.
Well. Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Makes you think.
That's beautiful. I mean, she's making medical decisions for him in this episode.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, we cut to 2 weeks later. Mulder is back at work at the X-Files office a mere 2 weeks after being taken off ECMO and having bug lungs, which is impressive. But he is still rasping, though. So
yeah.
That's how
we know it's serious.
That's how we know it affected him. Morley, Scully rolls in and tells Mulder that Morley Tobacco subpoenaed all of their records on this project, this case, and they seem very interested in Mulder's recovery. We also learn that Jigsaw has been stabilized enough that he's been able to be moved to a like hospital ward at a jail. And we talk about how he was a really heavy smoker, and nicotine is kind of a natural poison, and so it like poisoned the bugs in his lungs. So it was like, so the cigarettes all had little bug eggs in them, but he just smoked enough of the bug egg cigarettes that the nicotine in the bug egg cigarettes neutralized the eggs.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. And the other focus group people just didn't smoke enough nicotine to kill the bugs.
And everyone that's around him either didn't smoke or didn't smoke enough.
Okay.
And so they didn't have enough poison to kill the bugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just think I should start smoking now.
I guess so.
Keep bugs out of my lungs.
Yeah.
So putting two and two together, Scully ordered nicotine for Mulder, and they basically like used the nicotine to chemotherapy him into killing all the lung bugs. And Mulder's like, in addition to saving me from bug lung, this whole situation did have another...
Well, in addition to saving me from bug lung, this whole thing had another effect on me as well.
It gave him Jigsaw voice, actually.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's and like then he like turns voice. Around and there's like another little puppet that looks like Mulder on his desk. And he's like,
I got a desk for the puppet before I got a desk for you, Scully. Does that bother you?
It's fine.
No, he shows Scully a pack of cigarettes that he bought on the way to work. And he's like, I really have a hankering for cigarettes now that you got me addicted to nicotine, Scully. And she just, like, looks at him and, like, shakes her head and, like, wags her little finger. And he's like, okay. And he throws them in the trash. And she's like, good boy.
Yeah.
And, like, pats his head. Which I guess all you need to get over a nicotine addiction is to have Scully look disappointed in you.
I mean...
Doesn't she smoke? I mean, not regularly, but she used to.
Did she?
Yeah, she smoked it. Well, okay. She smoked in Syzygy.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe
that's
it was
right.
Just literally that one time.
Unclear. Okay. Yeah, well, she did give him a look.
She really did.
Yeah.
And he looked chastened.
He did.
And she, like, goes ahead to a meeting before him, and he stays behind and just gazes longingly and thoughtfully at the pack of cigarettes in the trash. Looking forward to that never coming up again.
Is he going to start smoking again?
No.
Okay.
I doubt it.
What if it also cured his colorblindness?
Maybe. He's like, I can see clearly, Scully.
Yeah.
Come on.
I can see clearly now. The lung bugs are gone.
Exactly.
Boo-doo-boo. And then the puppet starts singing.
Oh, my God. And now he has something to talk to his dad about.
His dad?
Sorry, not the puppet. Mulder has something to talk to his dad, the cigarette smoking man, about.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay, gotcha. I was not following your labyrinthine logic.
Papa smokes. There,
yes.
Mulder and yes. Papa smokes.
Gotcha.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Fiend.
The end.
Yep.
Okay. Shall we move on to who the crew?
Let's do it.
So this episode began, like, the original idea was doing an episode about overeating, I guess. But since they basically already did that with Hungry, they're like, let's do something else.
Nice.
So somehow this morphed into an episode exploring the corporate evil of the tobacco industry. You know, overeating. The tobacco industry. Same thing.
Very similar.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. The episode's writers were also big fans of the movie The Insider, which came out in 1999, directed by Michael Mann, starring Al Pacino and Russell Crowe, about a whistleblower in the tobacco industry. Are you familiar with this movie? Because I hadn't really heard of it.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. So it sounds like they just wanted to write some insider fan fiction.
Didn't they used to do this back in, I mean, ICE was just a fan
that's
fiction.
True,
they're
true.
Going back to their roots, frankly.
That's very true.
Yeah. They tried to get Al Pacino, but and he see, was like, no.
I'm out of here. But see, the difference is ICE is a better episode.
Yes.
Yes. So this episode was like David Duchovny's equivalent to Gillian Anderson's role in Chimera. Mulder was put into the hospital for the last two acts because David Duchovny was busy. He gets his special episode next week.
Okay.
Everybody's getting their special episode.
That's so delightful. Yes. Okay, nice.
So next week is David Duchovny's episode. He had to prep for that, so that's why he's out of commission.
Does Skinner get a special episode? Or is this his special episode?
No. Oh. He does not. Okay. He does not.
Well, that's hurtful, but it's fine.
Yeah, they never gave Mitch Pileggi a chance to write an episode.
Yeah, what the hell? He doesn't feel like he wants to.
I was just going to say, he's just doing his thing. Yeah.
It's like, I feel like he could flawlessly direct, but he feels like he has no interest in it. This is completely based on nothing.
No, I get it. Right? I feel like he would be a good director. I feel like I don't get writer vibes from him.
No.
But I get director vibes.
Yeah.
Guess because he's the assistant director.
He does direct. That's what he does. Yeah.
Although, does he?
No.
Does he?
No, he does not.
Maybe the rest of the departments are very competent, ship shape. Maybe that's why they let him get away with the X-Files, because everything else is good.
So much going wrong. He's getting nanobotted.
I know.
And, like, compromising all the secrets of the FBI. Constantly doing, like, crimes against the FBI because of the nanobots. There's just like shady criminals coming into all his doors all the time.
That's true.
I don't know if he's that good at this job.
Shouldn't I feel like the cigarette smoke in this should have like pushed all the nanobots out of Skinner.
Maybe it did.
Or I feel like he should have like recognized that like this is his issue. Like he also has bugs inside of him.
Yeah. Maybe he just has to take up smoking and the nicotine will get rid of the nanobots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, electronic cigarettes. Obviously.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
We've said it before. We'll say it again. When are they wrapping up the nanobot storyline?
Bring back nanobots. Do you remember? Does it happen?
I don't remember.
Hmm.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
I assume the next time Krychek comes back. I assume he comes back.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to be fair, I think they do eventually remember storylines. It just takes a while.
Yeah.
So they'll probably swing back around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes. So the production designer, Corey Kaplan, he was very focused on creating a yellow and brown color scheme for the episode, and he tried to give every room in the episode a perpetually smoky look. I think he did.
Success.
He succeeded. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, everything was very yellow and green and sickly.
Yeah.
So during the scene where they find the victim's body, they did use live beetles. Ew. Over 3,000 live beetles crawling over the body of the actor. Later on, they were saying that the bug scenes were very tedious and hard to film because, now you're going to be shocked by this, bugs do not take direction well.
Kim, you learned that seasons ago.
I know.
You can't pretend to be surprised by this.
Kimothy. Why does Kim, you know, it was a joke, but it just keeps happening.
It's a little suspicious.
He loves bugs.
I think he likes directing bugs.
I think he says he doesn't, but I don't believe him at this point.
Unless everyone else is doing it to mess with him, like making him work on the bug episodes.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Hmm.
That's so sick and twisted.
Yeah, that would be pretty sick.
Why would they do Kim like that?
I don't think they would.
He's the only, like, I feel like he's the only main director left.
Yeah,
right?
Now that Bobby,
I feel like
Bowman's
all the other
gone.
Ones are gone.
I know. Curse and Kim, don't leave us.
Yeah. You can't.
Love him.
So.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Well, shall we move on to Blazer Watch, the segment where we talk about the clothing in the episode?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jigsaw's got a gross white tank top undershirt at one point.
Yeah. I think the winner, wardrobe winner in this episode is clear. It's Skinner's suspenders that he's wearing.
Yeah. But only in scenes where he's asking someone to explain science to him.
Yes, of course. So those were great. Those were great. Mm-hmm. Especially when you wear it. What did you call it? Raw?
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. Sure. It means raw. Yeah.
Voss did have quite a comfortable beard.
Yes.
His beard suits him.
It's a nice beard.
Yeah.
For him. The neighbor that dies has a nice mustache that I appreciated.
I didn't notice, but okay.
Yeah, it's there. All right. It's there.
Do we want to talk about Scully's, like, ugly color-changing shirt?
Yeah, like the... What was it? Like a...
Well, I think she was just... It was either, like, a white or, like, an off-yellow button-up.
Yeah.
But they kept walking through rooms with, like, weird green lighting, so it kept, like, changing colors, and it was just... It was very ugly.
Yes.
The whole time.
An unpleasant color. I guess that's the... who was the guy who was making everything look smoky?
Corey Kaplan.
That's a Corey Kaplan special. He was making her shirts look...
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty ugly.
Well.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
At one point, Mulder's wearing an ugly tie. I'm glad. Well, okay. The tie is not particularly ugly. It's just a striped tie. But it's like red and like grayish green stripes over like a bluish gray shirt that clashes really badly.
It was kind of like chunky.
Yeah.
It's
pretty bad.
In a displeasing kind of way.
Yeah. I was like, this man deserves bug lungs. He's going to dress like this.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Nobody deserves bug lungs.
Okay.
I would not wish bug lungs on my worst enemy.
All right.
It's really gross.
It is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. All
right, let's hop on into FBI Do, the segment where we analyze the development of the romantic relationship between the Boo crew. We do it on a doomsday clock scale where 10 minutes to midnight is far from love and 0 minutes to midnight is right in the atomic blast zone of love. We like to give examples from the episode at hand to make sense of that scale. So who would we say is 10 minutes to midnight in Brand X?
I have Jigsaw and Voss.
Yeah.
They were not getting along.
Did not see eye to eye.
No.
I had Mulder and cigarettes before this episode.
Mm.
Dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
And who do we say is 0 minutes to midnight?
Well, it seems like you've got a...
Dot, dot, dot. Mulder and cigarettes now.
Okay.
He loves them.
Yeah. I just have Mulder's lungs and worms.
Oh, yeah. Mm. They're so sweet.
They're lovers.
Like, how did they fix all of the holes?
His lungs would be ruined.
He wouldn't be able to function. He'd die.
No.
He would not be okay.
Maybe they got him a lung transplant.
Mate, double lung transplant?
Yep.
And he's back at work in 2 weeks.
He's totally good.
What a freak.
Yeah.
I guess. Why not?
Maybe he jogged in.
The smoking man rolled up and was like, I have a solution from the aliens.
Maybe.
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 Or it's just a monster of the week, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. Where would we put the Boo crew on this scale?
It's the moon.
Yeah. It's I mean, I guess like Scully's making medical decisions for him. She holds his hand that one time, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moon. Yeah.
The Scoo crew's hanging out though, and I do like that.
I do like a Scoo crew hang, I will say.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Oh my God. Oh no. That sound means it's time for Monster of the Week, which is where we talk about this week's monster. Who would we say it is?
I think that it's the cigarette smoking man. That somehow this is his fault.
Okay.
I mean, this is his favorite cigarette company.
You know he's like a board member or something.
Exactly. He's involved in all sorts of shady dealings. I think that somehow he is involved in this. This is his fault.
That feels right.
Yeah.
That's fair. I just said the tobacco industry because they're an evil in our world.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Whoa.
They're the monster in our world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like your theory, actually. That does feel right.
Like, maybe he's trying to... Maybe he wanted this project... He started the project, and he wanted the project to be exposed so that the company's stocks would, like, tank, so that he wouldn't have to pay as much
for
cigarettes.
Oh, my God. This little bastard. Do you lower the price of your product when you lose money?
Okay, maybe he's just trying to kill off... Okay, maybe he didn't want the project to be exposed, but he started the project wanting to kill a bunch of people so that there were... less people to buy it, so no, that wouldn't work either.
Doesn't work. What's the
what is he doing? Obviously, he's at fault.
Maybe he owns or he doesn't own stock in the company, but he wants to. So he wants to drive down the price temporarily so he can buy low. And then he's like, of course it'll come back up because people love cigarettes, and they already know they killed them, so they're not going to be that worried about the scandal. And so then I'll have a bunch of stock in the company.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does he care about corporate crime? I don't feel like he owns any stocks.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
He's probably roommates with Jigsaw, you know? Like, if you pan over, yeah, he's also sitting there.
Does he also have, like, a little tiny apartment that Jigsaw made for him? But he just looks like a giant inside of it.
I guess. Probably not. Smoking Man's just not cute, you know?
No, he's really not.
I like the idea, if it was anyone but him.
Is he still dying of brain bugs or whatever, too?
Jesus surgery?
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can he see the future or whatever Mulder could do?
Unclear.
Okay.
Unclear.
Okay.
I think he's dying, right?
I guess. That's what he keeps telling us. He won't shut
up. Well, that's
it.
What he tells us. Yeah. You know, we're close to a mythology episode. We'll find out soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right. Well, it's time to move on to our favorite scene or moment.
Can we have a short little Saw segment?
Yeah, let's do a Saw segment.
Because I feel like we've talked about how Mulder and Scully would do in a Saw trap. How would Skinner do in a Saw trap?
I feel like he'd clench his jaw and just walk out, and it would, like, crash through the walls.
He would just leave?
Like, this is Kool-Aid Man. And he would just leave.
He would just walk at a normal speed, yeah, but the wall would crumple around because he's so dense.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Like, he's not going to put up with a fucking Saw trap. He's not going to answer the little questions.
No. Yeah, I think I said this off mic, but yeah, I don't think Skinner is willing to learn a lesson.
No.
So.
No.
Okay.
He would either do that, or, assuming that's not possible, he would just die.
Yeah, that too. Right? That too. Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, what would be their Saw traps?
Mm.
I was thinking Mulder's would be he has to go an hour without calling Scully.
Mm. Oh.
It would be hard.
Oh.
It would be tough.
There's a fully charged cell phone in front of you with only one phone number in it. And you've just had a passing thought that you want to share with Scully. But you cannot call her for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be sweating.
That would be really hard for him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Scully's. What lesson does she need to learn?
I don't know. Maybe she has to. Does it have to be driving related?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what.
Diesel Data, you have to start looking both ways when you pull onto the road in your car.
There you go.
And you have to drive the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you teach someone that? It's like. Is it like a revert, like a speed thing where it's like they're like tied and she's like, oh no, do you have an idea?
I was gonna say maybe he has Mulder tied to like the train tracks, like a damsel in distress type of thing.
Yeah.
And so Scully has to look before she crosses or she might kill Mulder. You know?
Remember that time recently when she just like was blind and shot wildly at someone coming in the door that easily could have been Mulder?
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Yep.
Wild.
Yep.
Okay. So she has to, like, be careful driving or she'll kill someone.
Yeah.
And then Skinner. Is it like he has to, like, discipline Mulder and Scully?
Successfully.
Yeah. Okay. You have to get them to listen to you.
Impossible.
It's not fair. I guess it can't be an impossible Saw trap.
That's true.
Is this, Amanda doing
yeah,
this
yeah,
trap?
Yeah, come on.
Jigsaw would never.
No.
Haven't seen the movies. Hope that made sense.
No, it does.
Okay,
it does. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't know. He has to get through a meeting without saying something bitchy. I don't know.
Without using the word ass.
There you go.
Referencing a butt in any way.
There you go.
Hmm.
Why not?
Sure. I just remembered that Amanda was on whatever that volcano episode was.
Mm-hmm.
Volcano time.
Yep. Firewalker.
Yep.
Firewalker. Volcano time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's special.
That was special.
We're collecting all our Saw pals.
Our Saw buddies.
Saw buddies.
I think they're the only two that I can think of.
Well. Well, never mind then. Well, write in with your ideas of the Skooker Saw traps.
I do like the thought of Skinner just walking out. Just not trying at all. He doesn't even listen to the full explanation.
He's like, I'm going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I don't have to put up with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Can Jigsaw do, like, because, like, Jigsaw's an old grumpy man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can an old grumpy man do old grumpy man on old grumpy man crime?
I don't know.
Like, could this, cigarette
Their temperaments
being
are very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, would Skinner be doing the saw traps on Mulder and Scully?
I feel like Skinner's not diabolical enough, right?
No, it's true. He's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also feel like, I don't know if the Smoky Man would be into inflicting a saw trap on someone.
No.
Yeah. It's not his thing.
No.
He just wants to talk him to death. He would trap somebody in a room and talk them to death.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that would, they would wish they were in a saw trap. Yeah. Put a reverse bear trap on my jaw, because I don't want to live to hear this.
Yeah.
They would say.
They would.
And they would stumble over in the same way I did.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah. Well, because their brain is melting from listening to the Smoky Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
It's beautiful.
Wonderful.
Love that. Okay. So, favorite scene or moment. This is...
your turn. What's your favorite scene or moment?
I don't have one.
Okay.
No, just kidding. I will say it was super gross, but the larva in the dead man's lung was pretty, like, cool and in a gnarly way. It's so gross.
It was nasty.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
Just, like, thinking about bugs in your lungs.
Ugh.
I don't like it. But I did also like Mulder and Skinner, their reactions were very fun to looking hugely disgusted by this.
yeah, I did like Skinner just with the Mr. Security.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That wasn't my, I was just commenting. That was not my favorite moment. That was just a comment on something I enjoyed.
Okay, how does it rank among all the moments?
All the moments. Yeah. Okay, let me get my spreadsheet out. Okay. All right.
Oh, like you wouldn't. Come on.
How many moments are in an episode approximately? There's got to be at least 80. Yeah. Or how many moments per minute approximately?
On average, I bet there's like 1.5 moments per minute.
Only that much?
Yeah, because there's some minutes with no moments.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so...
there's momentless minutes.
All right,
and
so
there's
yeah.
minutes with lots of moments.
So it's like 90 moments in an episode.
I think at least.
All right. So this is going to take some time to figure out, but in the meantime...
Yeah.
I did... I don't know why, but I did kind of like the interview scene with Skinner and Mulder and the tobacco executives. I think I just like the room.
Just like the table.
I just like the table. I don't know. It's just like the long table and like the off yellow lighting in the room. I feel like Kim Manners was doing something interesting with the cameras. There was like movement. Like it felt more exciting than the scene actually was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I liked the idea of, you know, corporate intrigue. I feel like I wish they would have gone into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
I feel like there's like something there that could have been interesting, but this was like the most that we got in this episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of liked Voss a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have used him more. And then I enjoyed Mulder's little sassy comment at the end. That was funny.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He's always sassy commenting.
He is.
Come on.
It's his thing.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, well, now it is time for us to rate the episode, which we do on a scale of 0 to 5 alien head emojis, and it is my turn, so what am I going to give Brand X?
What are you?
I don't know. No idea.
You don't know.
We'll
rank your 90 moments,
okay.
And then we'll...
from favorite to least favorite, mm-hmm. or least favorite to favorite?
Just switch it up a little bit.
Okay. Least favorite.
Just go in chronological order, in the cold open.
No. Cold open was my 35th favorite.
35th
moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I thought that the Jigsaw Man was quite a good actor.
Yeah.
He's like got a weird charisma, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm like, you know, blowing anyone's minds here because obviously he's an actor, but it's just like, he's like, something about him was just appealingly weird, and
he's just scuzzy.
Yeah, scuzzy.
Yeah.
But like in a good way. I liked his face.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, just, I know I've like harped on this a lot, and obviously it is the nature of the storytelling, so to be clear, I'm not actually like bothered by it, and it's not affecting my rating. It's just funny where like we have an episode where Mulder goes through what would be the most traumatic physically and emotionally event in a normal person's life, and it's just like a Tuesday for him. He's like, I'm gonna be fine after this. This is nothing. It's just kind of funny. There's throwing horrible things at these characters.
Yep.
And they are superhuman. And I guess I was saying it off mic, but that he's like being tortured by his own status as a main character, where he can never escape the hell that is his life.
Yeah.
No matter how much pain he goes through.
A little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's something there, right? You know, trapped by the narrative.
Sure.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Like, yeah, corporate America is evil. The tobacco industry is pretty evil. You know, cigarettes are really addictive, et cetera, et cetera. It would have been nice to see a little bit more interest with that. I don't know if they were like, this will look too much like the smoking, like, smoky boys in the back room if we, like, do too much of that, because we've had a lot of, like, intrigue before. But this is, like, corporate intrigue. I feel like they could have done more.
It's a little different.
Maybe they were worried that they were getting too much like The Insider, and they were like, we gotta pump up, like, the supernatural elements.
I haven't seen The Insider, but I bet there's not a lot of bugs in lungs.
There's probably not a lot of lung bugs. So they were like, let's do more with the lung bugs and less with the corporate shenanigans.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I mean, it's like interesting, you know, the idea of messing with genetics and the unintended consequences or whatever. It's very thematic. It's very X-Files-y, of course. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. It's all fun. I like seeing the Scoo Crew on a case, you know? I love them. I always wish that they will do more with Skinner than they do. Would be nice.
Yeah.
But he's always just kind of there.
Chewing his wheat.
Clenching his jaw.
Yeah.
Yelling.
Yeah.
Which I do love, of course. Sure. So maybe I shouldn't complain. But I don't know. Did anyone have, like, any reaction? It felt like they were, like, sleepwalking through some scenes a little bit, where it was like, I don't know, like, Mulder's, like, dying or whatever, and they're just like, this is serious, we gotta fix this, but they never seemed that worried about bug lungs.
They knew it was a monster of the week.
Yeah, they could tell.
Like, this'll be fine in 20 minutes.
It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, like, really effectively super gross. The idea of bugs growing in your lungs, like, That's not nothing to write an episode around. It's really gross and interesting and horrible. And obviously it's like a dramatizing the fact that cigarettes are bad for your lungs and stuff. And it's like, what if it was even grosser and worse and more immediate and stuff? And it's like, you know, they touch on some class themes where it's like this, like, big giant corporation with these really rich executives just like testing everything on these, you know, blue collar people who live in these shitty apartments, and then they're dying, and the corporation's covering it up, and they don't really care, and they're not like people who are missed by society, quote unquote. So it's like they get away with it and stuff. So they, like, touched on some ideas, and then it didn't feel like they necessarily, like, went through with any of them. There were a lot of threads. It was all just, like, totally fine. It was great. It was kind of generic. It was a little bit boring to me. I gave it 2 out of 5 alien head emojis.
All right.
It's fine.
All right. Yes. I agree. It was a pretty standard X-File. For some indescribable reason, I feel like it was, like, a slightly above average standard X-File. Like, in the it's slightly above the middle, I guess. Probably
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, I do like Tobin Bell, and it was really disgusting.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which does gain it some points.
Fair enough, yeah.
There's some gross-out moments. Mm. Genuinely disgusting moments with all the bugs. Especially, I think it was the one part that really grossed me out is when they were sucking the bugs out of his lungs. When you see the jar filled with maggots and lung fluid, that was the moment that was like, and the x-ray. The x-ray was really gross.
And that's our guy. That's Mulder.
That's our man. I don't want that to happen to him.
Oh.
So those moments were genuinely effective and pretty gross. I liked the corporate evil of the tobacco company angle. I wish there was more of that. I already said that. Love Tobin Bell. He did a good job. He gives off, like, a really effective feeling of, like, bitterness and menace.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like the scenes between him and Voss. I feel like those two actors like played off each other pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because like Voss is the one who ostensibly has all the power, but he's been like unseated because now Jigsaw has something over him. And now he's like uneasy about the changing dynamics between the two of them. And I don't know. I kind of liked that. We have been asking for a Skinner tagging along on the case episode forever.
True.
We finally get one.
True.
Like you said, I wish they would have done a little more with that. I wish there would have been more team shenanigans.
Yeah. Why are they never, like, arguing over music in the car?
Yeah. Or, like, I feel like there could have been something, because I don't think Skinner's been with them, but I don't think he's ever, like, really investigated a case with them before. I guess like Sinunzite sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
But that wasn't like a regular case. Yeah. I feel like this is the only regular case.
I'm trying to remember. Maybe.
I feel like there was untapped potential for like Skinner to come along with them, and like Mulder and Scully are doing their thing as they're want to do, and Skinner's like this is what you guys do all the time. Like, you know, like what?
Wait, I'm paying you to flirt?
Yeah, kind of. I feel like they could have done something with that.
Yeah.
But oh well. So we need more of it. Okay. We need more.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, I agree. It was pretty standard though, but I liked it a little more than average, so I did give it 3
nice
alien head emojis.
All right.
Just love that Tobin Bell.
Come on, he is very good.
He's got that craggy face,
he
you know?
He does. Yeah. I wish I looked like that.
Yeah.
One day, maybe, if I'm lucky.
If you're lucky. Start smoking bug cigarettes.
I really don't want to smoke bug cigarettes,
well,
to be honest.
Well, that's the price to be paid.
Is that how he got to look like that? Like the actor?
Probably, right?
Oh, man.
Probably.
Where do you get bug cigarettes?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll do it. Can I make my own?
You could. I just want to know what he looked like when he was younger.
Well, I feel like there's like a picture of him as a baby and he just looks like that.
I mean,
he
seems
like a cigarette sticking out of his baby mouth.
He seems like he just has perma old man face, right?
Absolutely. He was actually 25 filming this one.
Oh, he's kind of suave. Is that him?
Oh, is that him?
Is that him? That's not him.
Okay.
They put the pictures side by side and it looked like him. That's not him. That's a different man.
Yeah.
Is this him? It's just like a bunch of people. Is that him?
I don't. You're asking the wrong.
Wow,
that looks like a British man.
Yeah, it doesn't look.
But I don't know. That's not like exclusive to. I mean, it could be him.
You know,
didn't that guy look British? Am I making that up? It was probably just because it looked like an album cover.
He just looks like a Beatle.
Yeah.
I think every single one of these pictures is Tobin Bell old as hell.
When did his IMDb start? When did he start acting?
I don't know.
Because, like, you know, I bet it would be hard to find a young Jonathan Banks, but you can watch Airplane and find him, you know what I mean?
I was shocked out of my mind the first time I realized that was him.
Mm-hmm. I remember you had to go to the Institute for a while and rest after that.
I had to go take the waters in Venice.
Exactly.
Okay, scrolling back. His first role was in 1979 in Manhattan. Man on Street, uncredited.
That doesn't count. Also, I have not seen Manhattan, and it feels a little late to watch it now.
Does it have to be his first credited role is in 1985.
It just needs to be somewhere we could find him, like if we watched the movie.
Yeah.
We could see him young.
I don't know.
Actually,
very quickly, we're in the 90s again. So I guess he hadn't been acting for that long.
So he might just always be old.
He's in Goodfellas,
man.
I guess.
Oh.
He's just like a random background guy. I don't remember him.
Damn.
He's in something called Silk Stockings, but S-T-A-L-K.
Oh.
Stockings.
Hey, whoa, that's clever.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
He has coached a Little League baseball team.
Okay. That would be so scary.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I don't know.
Wait. He announced that he would be leaving Twitter to focus on his social media interactions on Instagram and YouTube. Homeboy's got a YouTube channel?
Is this real?
I guess. That's his Wikipedia.
Wow.
Man, I want to watch Tobin Bell on YouTube. What does
he do? Just like unboxing videos?
That would be so amazing.
But he's unboxing the people he's put in saw traps.
Wait. Does he have music? What is this?
Tobin Bell official.
On Mercy Shakespeare series.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Whoa.
I think he sings. I think he's got covers of Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Oh my god, he's just like rocking out on the guitar.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, I gotta check this out later.
Okay, so that's a future.
Now we're just scrolling Tobin Bell. This is great radio.
People have already gotten our ratings. They've already tuned out of this one if they don't, if they're not committed to hearing all of our nonsense.
All right.
Next week.
Okay, next week. Oh, we're done?
I think
no more?
So. It was good. I, like you said, I am shocked that they did not reference the cigarette smoking man at all.
Yeah. Subtext.
Yeah, always.
All right, next week, we're moving on. We are talking about season 7, episode 19, Hollywood AD. Okay. It is David Duchovny's turn to write and direct an episode.
Okay, double duty.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a fun one. Okay. It's going to give us, in particular, a special little moment that we will enjoy.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know I love special little moments.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you have any thoughts, questions, comments that you want to send our way, you can do so at skellynationpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both of those also at skellynationpod. And I have a note here that I am reading. Oh, beep, 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 beep.
Breaking news.
It's happening. Season 7 questions deadline is April 14th. If you want to send us questions for our Season 7 wrap-up, get in early, because this is going to be a big one where we talk about season 7. I don't know.
Okay.
I might be.
It is. It's going to be a big one. Sorry. I don't mean to downplay us before. It's going to be a big one.
It's going to be the event of the
half year.
Spring. Yep. Forget about it. So April 14th, send in your questions. Also, our intro and outro music is by Groovemaster Putz, and you can get more of their music on Bandcamp.
Also, if you're enjoying our show, please consider giving us a rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice, and spread the word about the pod. Tell your friends, your family, and the people you are infecting with bug lungs through your secondhand smoke about the podcast, because they don't have a lot of time left. But in the little time they have, they can listen to our podcast.
Just listen to a really tight, edited podcast
where we don't spend 5 minutes looking at Tobin Bell's IMDb page.
Nope.
We would never do that.
That would be so, can you imagine recording an hour and 46 minutes about an episode of TV that's 45 minutes long?
Never.
No. And if you've got limited
right to
time,
the point,
this is the podcast for yep. you. Anyway, I have been your host, Amanda.
And I've been Ella. And please remember, trust no one except for us.